Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 8 says, "All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee known, that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains, and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, and vines and fig trees, and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee, to do thee good at the latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get thee wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God." So here the Lord outlines to the nation of Israel what he has been able to do for them, how he's taken care of them, how he's fed them, how he's given them water to drink, how that he watched over them as they wandered in the wilderness. They're going into the land. They're going to be established in that land, into the land that God had promised them. And yet he warns them to not forget where all these blessings came from. And not forget that it was the Lord that took care of them and the Lord that did these things for them. And he says, if you forget, then you're going to perish like all the other nations. If you forget, you're going to be just like one of the other nations that doesn't give God any credit and perishes off the face of the earth. I believe that America is a nation that God has blessed. I believe that as long as we remember the blessings of God, God will keep blessing. But there's a sad day dawning in America, and has been dawning for quite a number of years now. And that day is a day of rejection of the Lord, a day of rejection of the Word of the Lord, a day of forgetting that it's the Lord that brought us to this point, a day of thinking that it's man that is doing it and not God, and that man by his ingenuity and his power and his greatness and his technology is the one that's making this nation what it is. And I see as we lean that direction as a nation, that the nation keeps on slipping and going further and further down the tube. And we're not the nation that we were 50 years ago, 100 years ago, or 200 years ago, because we are beginning to forget. And I don't want a generation to be able to come into this church and not be reminded and not remember that it's the Lord that we need to be thankful to for all the blessings that we enjoy. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful today for your goodness to us. We're thankful for salvation. We're thankful that you sent your Son into this world to die on the cross so that man could have forgiveness of sins. We're thankful, Lord Jesus, that you've dealt with us with kindness and love and mercy, that you've been long-suffering. You've put up with us. Father, we're thankful for your faithfulness to us and how it is renewed day after day, and your mercy is renewed day after day, and your grace is abundant upon our lives. And Lord, we're thankful for all these things. We're thankful for the luxuries that we enjoy in this land. We're thankful for food and homes and cars and clothes and money to spend and the things that many people in this world don't even dream about, let alone have. And Lord, we're truly grateful that you've allowed us to live in a land that has prospered so much. And Father, we know that it's only because of thee and your greatness and your goodness toward us that we have flourished in this way. Father, help us to always be thankful. Help us to have hearts of thanksgiving. Help us not to forget, but to be thankful for all things that you've done. And we'll give you the praise and the glory and the honor. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This nation is a great nation for declaring holidays. We've got all kinds of national holidays. We've got Memorial Day, 4th of July, Labor Day, Veterans Day, President's Day, and even Martin Luther King Day, Easter, Christmas, New Year's. We have all kinds of holidays in this land, and yet Thanksgiving ought to be the first and foremost of our holidays, but it's a holiday that is overlooked and glossed over, and it's a holiday that has almost been forgotten. And when people come to the place where they have nothing to be thankful for, and when people come to the place where they have no God in which to thank for the things that they have, then that group of people is on their way down. And we as a nation today are on the downward slide, and we are fast forgetting our roots. We are fast forgetting how our forefathers came to this country and the things that have been done through the years. We forget that the first Thanksgiving was declared by the Pilgrims in 1621 when Governor William Bradford of Plymouth Colony appointed a day for feasting and thanksgiving after a severe winter that brought about the deaths of many of the first settlers to the New World. A spring and summer of planting and growing crops, then a fall of harvest, and then a day of thanksgiving was declared. And regardless of whether they teach that in school anymore, regardless of what some of the naysayers say about Thanksgiving and about God, that's how it came to pass. That's where it came from. And I don't see how that we can travel around this country and look at the blessings of God all around us, watching how this country brings forth enough food to feed practically the whole world and not be able to give thanks. As I said in Sunday school, I don't see how a farmer can go out and plant the seed in that field and see it grow throughout the course of a summer and then come to the place where it's ready to harvest and harvest abundantly soybeans and corn and wheat and rye and the crops that we harvest around here. You can go out to Kansas and they can put a man on a combine out there and he can go through those fields of wheat out there day and night for 24 hours before he ever has to turn around and come back on the second relay. I mean, that's how vast and that's how great this country is. And if you ever travel by car out through the West, you can see those hundreds and thousands of acres of a land that is being farmed and being harvested, and yet how much praise is given unto God. Take your Bible and turn to a psalm. The Lord gave me a psalm, a verse this morning too. It's in Psalm 145. Psalm 145. And Psalm 145 and verse 16. That verse of Scripture right there, it says, "Thou openest thy hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing." The Lord opens His hand and satisfies the desire of every living thing. The Lord opens His hand and the cattle of the field are fed and watered. The Lord opens His hand and the bird gets a grain and gets the worm out of the ground. And the hummingbird goes to the flower and gets the nectar out of the flower. God opens His hand and feeds everything. You can go down to a bog where everything would appear to be dead. And in that swampy water, you can see minnows swimming around in that thing. You can see frogs sitting on the lily pad. You can see a turtle climbed down on a dead, rotten limb, and the Lord opens His hand and He feeds everything. Everything God takes care of. I don't know how He does it. You'd have to be God to be able to do that. And then He takes care of His people. He takes care of mankind on this earth. And if there's ever anything that we should do, we should thank the Lord for His goodness. I mean, out there in nature, does not the bird thank God by singing his song in the morning? Does not the frog thank God by croaking his song in the evening? Does not the cricket thank God by making his little cricketing sound at night? I believe all of nature has a way of opening their voice unto the Lord and thanking God for their very existence. But man is the one that can receive from God and receive from God and receive from God and then not give God any credit for it. And just think that it's His own power. Well, man, God can make it so nothing grows in the field out there.
Amen, brother.
If He wants to. God can make it so that this world would go into a famine if He wants to. And there's a few things that go together. Praise and prayer go together.
Amen.
And thanksgiving and praise go together. We ought to be, of all people, a thankful people, not murmuring, not griping, not complaining, as we so often do, but giving thanks unto God for all the goodness that He has showed unto us.
Amen.
The Bible tells us what happens when man becomes unthankful. Take your Bible and turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, when you read that chapter, it is an indictment against man that takes him right to the bottom of the moral scrap heap. And at the end of that thing, it says in verse 30 that they're, well, verse 29 says, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. How does man come to that condition? How does man go so far down? Well, verse 21 tells you. It says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. When they knew God, they refused to glorify Him. When they knew God, they refused to be thankful to God for His goodness upon them. And we are living in a day right now where man has taken for granted the things of God. Evil and unthankfulness are twins that die, live and die together.
Yes.
Evil and unthankfulness go hand in hand. If a man comes to the place where he gets saved and he quits doing evil, you know what automatically happens? He becomes thankful.
Amen.
But evil and unthankfulness go together. Romans chapter 1 shows you how man spirals down to the bottom, to the pit, to the ash heap, because he's unthankful to God. And God told these people when they go into the land to be careful that they don't become unthankful, that they don't become a group of people that forget what God has done. People become unthankful when they forget, when they take for granted, and when they have too much. So, we forget God. We take all the things that we have for granted and we have too much, and people become unthankful when those conditions exist. We as a nation, not necessarily as individuals, but we as a nation are not a thankful people any longer. I hope that we're all thankful in here this morning. I think I could say that we probably are. But the day may come when you could become unthankful. And here's what happens, and here's what takes place when people become unthankful. First of all, they become unthankful when they forget what God has done. Look there in verse 11 of chapter 8. It says, "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping His commandments and His judgments and His statutes which I command thee this day." And then he says in verse 14, "Then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." When people forget, God warned these folks over and over again, don't forget. Now, I'm not a historian. I'm not going to pretend to be an historian, but I have read a few books on history, not very many. I should be a historian. I failed history twice when I was going to school. The third time I passed it. So you would think that after taking the course three times, you'd know something about it. You know, not being a historian, I know this. We have forgotten how things started in this country. We as a group of people have forgotten the freedoms and how these freedoms came to be, the resources that we've enjoyed in this country, and the protection that we enjoy in this country. It took an incident like 9/11 to shake us to our senses and make us realize that we are not as protected as we once thought we were. We lived with the attitude that no one could harm us, no one could do us any great harm, and we were wrong about that. And God allowed us to see that. But did that turn us back to God? I say not. I mean, when after all that thing happened, the president declared a national day of prayer, and the first one he had to pray was a Muslim. I'll tell you what, that's a mess. And you know something? I don't know whether a day of prayer was ever declared after Katrina hit. Maybe there was, but I don't know that there was. And God has just walloped this country with one storm after another. And you know something? God wants us to realize and recognize the fact that He is in charge and that we ought to be thankful, and we have forgotten. We forget what God has done in our own lives. Sometimes we'll go week after week and forget about the great salvation that He has provided for us. You know, I've been saved 40 years and I haven't been able to get over it yet. I mean, I still get happy when I come in here and sing those songs about salvation. And I haven't been able to get over this salvation thing after 40 years. We forget that God has provided for us. That He is a God that looks out and He takes care of us and He provides. He opens His hands and He supplies the desire of all things. God has taken care of us. He's provided for us. He's healed us. Many of you in here right now, this past year, some sickness has come into your life, but God has taken care of you and He's helped you through it and He's healed you in that situation. We forget how that God loves us. And that He is for us. And He said we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. We forget how God guides us and how He watches out for us and leads us through this life day after day. And when people come to the place where they forget God, they become unthankful. And they don't thank God for the things that they have. How many times in the past month have you thanked Him for your salvation? How many times have you thanked Him for what you're eating? Every time you eat a meal, you ought to bow your head and thank the Lord for it. And yet, you go to a restaurant, you look around, and you very, very seldom see somebody bow their head and thank God for what they're about to eat. People become unthankful when they no longer acknowledge a sovereign God. an all-powerful, almighty, all-seeing, all-knowing God that has everything under control. I don't believe in luck. I believe in the providence of God. As a nation, we've quit looking to God. He's out, and now we look to man. We think that man is great. And we don't believe, as a nation, we don't believe that God created man. As a nation, we don't. If we believed that God created man as a nation, evolution wouldn't be taught in school without also creation being taught. The Scopes monkey trial was all about getting an alternative into the public school so that people would have a choice and a decision to make. And rather than just saying creation, they said, let's get the monkey in there and let's teach evolution and let the individual choose what he wants to believe. Now, evolution is in, creation is out. You cannot teach creation. See? You're a science teacher? If you do, you're doing it against the regulations of the school. They don't want God in. God's out. If God was in, they would teach creation in the school. Right. If God was in, they'd have Bible clubs in the school. Right. If God was in, they'd still read the Bible in school, like they did when I was in school. Yeah. When I was in school, one kid from the class would get up and read ten verses out of the Bible, maybe even a chapter out of the Bible. It was an old King James Bible, too. They don't do that anymore. I mean, if a teacher did that, there would be a great uprising. Well, for goodness sakes, you can't even put the Ten Commandments out in front of a flagpole. God's out. We're not thinking about God and thanking God for anything. God's out as far as our nation is concerned. We don't believe in the providence of God as a nation. I know you and I as individuals do. This nation talks about luck. Well, I just had good luck, you know. Yeah. It was good luck. No, there's no such thing as luck. God is in charge and in control of everything, and there's no such thing as luck. As individuals, we claim to believe in a sovereign God, but after claiming that, we arrange our lives without any consultation. We go ahead and do what we want to do without consulting Him. We are faithful to everything, but the very thing that we should be most faithful to. Amen. We're faithful to our families. We're faithful to our job. We're faithful to organizations that are outside of the church. But all, if somebody would get up and say, it is your duty to be faithful unto God and faithful to His church, we would think that we're being put under law. Yeah. But we'll be faithful to everything else.
Yeah, right.
As individuals, we claim to believe in a sovereign God, but we go as long as possible before we start praying about a thing. The saying is, when all else fails, we better start praying. But we'll try, we'll exhaust every other possibility before we bring a situation to God and pray to God. In other words, as individuals, we claim to believe in the sovereignty of God, but are we really thankful to God for all the things that He does? Men aren't thankful. A lot of times they're not thankful because they're just not saved. In chapter 8 and verse 14 and 15, it says there, then lift up, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at that latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and my might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. That's the way a lost man is. A lost man doesn't recognize the goodness of God. God's good to him, good to him, good to him, good to him.
Yeah.
Gives him things, helps him out of jams, helps him out of trouble, gives him things, and he does not acknowledge God. Unthankful. Because they're not saved. And they don't recognize that it's God trying to get them to the place where they acknowledge Him and acknowledge His Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We ought to be thankful for everything.
Yeah,
I mean, when I first got saved, I prayed with a bunch of fellows that, and we'd get together and pray sometimes, and they'd pray, and I thought, man, they're being awful. I was just saved, and I thought this, they were praying for the air that they were breathing. And they were praying for the clothes that they had on their body. And they were praying for the food that they were eating. And I thought, well, you know, we all have clothes and we all have, why should we pray about that? But these guys were praying in earnest about those things. They were thanking God in earnest for the very air that they were breathing. And for the very food that they put in their mouth.
Amen, brother.
And see, having just gotten saved, I thought that was kind of ridiculous, but now I see that that is not ridiculous. And I remember those prayer meetings way back then when, man, they were thanking God for shoes that didn't have holes in the soles of the feet. And they were thanking God for a car that would start up when you crank it, you know. And when you get to the place where you have holes in your shoes and your car won't start and you don't know whether it's going to get you down the road and you ever have an accident, then you start thanking God for some of these things that you take for granted every single day.
Amen.
You see, sometimes God has to just jerk the rug out from under you and let you fall flat on your face before you realize how much He's doing for you.
Amen.
And how much He's given to you. And so we need to be thankful. Some people are not thankful because they are not saved. Some people are not thankful because they just don't read the Bible and believe what the Bible has to say. If anybody should have been thankful, it ought to have been the nation of Israel. After all that God had done for them, but when they got into that land, they did exactly what God warned them against doing. They forgot about God.
Amen.
They thought somehow that, you know, wouldn't that be amazing if you could walk, use the same pair of shoes for 40 years?
Amen.
And walk around in the wilderness while you're doing it.
Yeah.
And then not have your feet swell.
Yeah.
And then not have the clothes rot off your back.
Amen.
And then not have to plan anything. The manna would be there every single morning. All she had to do is go out and gather it up. They got complaining about that. Man, if it might have got a little boring eating manna every day, but if that is all you have to eat, you better be thankful for it.
Praise the Lord.
You go down that Sinai wilderness. There's nothing out there, man. I mean, only camels can survive out there in that wilderness, that sandy wilderness. There's not things growing, bushes growing. There's not forests and woods and wild game stuff around. There's nothing out there. It's a wilderness. And if you're in that wilderness for 40 years, and all you have to do is go out every morning and pick the manna up off the ground, man, you ought to be thankful for that. And then when you get thirsty, there's a flint rock.
Amen.
I mean a flint rock.
Amen.
Nothing going to come out of a flint rock. And God take that flint rock and let water come out there enough to supply for over 1 million people and water that air. You know that flint rock still has water coming out of it today.
Yeah, wonderful.
You can go over there right today and get water out of that flint rock. That's God. And we ought to believe and read the Bible and know what God will do and how He can do it and not come to the place where we think, well, we'll never have to eat manna. But if you ever run out of food, manna might be a great thing to have. I'd like to eat manna sometime.
Amen, brother.
I would. There was a time when, as a nation, we believed the Bible.
Yeah.
We believed it. And we wanted to govern our nation according to the precepts of the Word of God. And we wanted to establish our laws according to the laws of God. And somebody came along and said, oh, these old laws are ridiculous. We shouldn't have to close down our place of business on Sunday because some old blue law that they had way back when said we have to close down our business on Sunday. We want to change the law. And so the laws that were established have been changed through the years. Now there is no day of rest. Now Sunday is just another day like any other day. There is no difference in Sunday and Monday and Sunday and Saturday.
Yeah.
Sunday and Friday. They're all the same.
Yeah.
Because man said, we want to change these old laws. There was a time when our forefathers read the Bible, believed the Bible, were thankful for the Bible, and said a nation cannot rightly be governed without the Word of God.
Amen.
And they believed in looking to what the Bible has to say. We don't need the Bible today. We have television and computer.
Amen.
Anything we want to know, we can find on the internet. And all we have to do is turn on the TV and we can get news and we can be entertained 24 hours a day. Why do we need a Bible? Well, we need a Bible because when people read the Bible, they stay thankful. They are reminded that it's God that brings all these things to pass. The devil has stripped away our Bible and given us a counterfeit. He's destroyed our faith in the authority of the Word of God. Now, he can deceive and he can confuse on any issue because we no longer have an authority. When men become unthankful, it's because they have too much and they want more. Israel's getting ready to go into the land of promise. They're getting ready to receive more than they've ever had before. In verse 12 and 13 of chapter 8, the Lord says, lest when thou hast eaten and are full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God. You see, Israel's getting ready to receive more than they've ever had before. And God warns them, when you get this stuff, you better be careful. You better watch out. And people become unthankful when they get more and more. There was a time in this nation when this nation went through the Great Depression. And people that lived through that period of time were people that never again in their lifetime took anything for granted.
Amen.
Because they realized how fragile things were in this nation. And I was raised up around people that, and I can remember the red penny and stuff that they had from back in the Depression. And I can remember my grandmother, man, she would hoard things like a squirrel. I mean, she'd squirrel hole all kinds of things because she'd been through that Depression. And, the old timers, I know Mary, when they cleaned out her house up there, she probably had cans of food that had been down there for 40 years, maybe. I don't know. But, the old timers that went through that period of time, they never took for granted again in their life anything. No matter how much they had, they never again took it for granted because they saw how easy it was for a nation to be brought down to its knees. Now, we're well past that. There's very few people in here that can remember that Depression. We're well past that. And this younger generation coming up, they think that milk comes from Kroger's. They don't realize it comes from a cow. They think that eggs come from Kroger's. They don't know it comes from a chicken. They think bread and meat come from Kroger's. And if Kroger's ever goes out of business, if Kroger's ever shuts down, if the trucks can't get the supplies into Kroger's, what is this generation going to do?
Amen.
They didn't plant a garden.
That's right.
They haven't canned any food.
Amen.
They don't know how to hunt. They can't survive off the land. What are they going to do? I'll tell you what they're going to do. They're going to knock you in the head and take
yours.
Right.
Because
that's all they know. They're not thankful for anything. They've had too much all their life. And the more they have, the more they want. And what they'll do is they'll find somebody that has it, and then they'll kill them and take it away from them. Because we're just an unthankful nation. And we want more and more and more. Men become unthankful when they take for granted the things they have. It has not been the system of capitalism that has made us great and rich. It has not been the democratic form or the republic form of government that we have had that has made us great. It is not the individuals with drive and determination to do things that has made this nation great. It is not our natural resources that has made us great. South America has much more as far as natural resources than what North America has. But North America is a great nation. South America is a third world country. The difference was South America got religion. And they got the wrong religion. North America got the Bible. And they got the right Bible. And God bless this nation. Because we have His Word. We believed His Word. We taught His Word. We preached His Word. And it's God that makes nations great and God that brings them down into the dust. According to the book of Jeremiah. When we take for granted what we have, God will eventually take it away from us. If we take for granted that we'll always have gas, we may not always have gas. When we take for granted that we'll always have food, God might just take that away from us. When we take for granted that our money will always be good, you might wake up some morning and find out that the dollar bill is worth absolutely nothing because we're a bankrupt nation and no other nation in the world will recognize our currency. You may wake up some morning and take for granted that we'll always have peace on this continent and find foreign soldiers walking through the streets of your city. I remember when I was a boy and I went to the movie on Saturday. And they would always have the newsreels. And they would show other countries like Korea and Germany and places where the Second World War, and they would show these tanks roaring through the streets of these nations. Tanks and military men. And I thought, man, it must be a horrible thing to live in a country where tanks are going up and down the street. We'll never see tanks in this country running up and down the street. But we have.
Amen, brother.
I used to, as a kid, look at those old newsreels and see what was happening in the Second World War and the Korean War and even in the Vietnam War and think that'll ever happen in America. But it just might. It could. There's always that possibility. 20 years ago, we'd have said, impossible! But now we realize that there are sleeper cells in this nation that are trained, that have one objective and one goal, and that is to destroy Western civilization. And they are just waiting for the command. They are just waiting for the orders. And they will rise up at command and be willing to sacrifice their life in order to bring this nation down.
That's right, brother.
You say, what's keeping it back? Only God.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Only God. But when we come to the place where we're no longer thankful and we take for granted the great freedoms and privileges that we have in this country, then watch out, because God might just say, okay, it's time for America to learn a lesson that they one time knew, but they forgot. And that's where everything comes from. We take for granted our health, our friends, our church, our homes. But you'll never take them for granted if you ever lose them. If you ever lose them, you'll never again take them for granted. We have them today. Let's be thankful.
Amen.
Let's be thankful today, this week, next week, Thanksgiving week.
Amen.
Let's make Thanksgiving our national holiday. Let's make Thanksgiving our new year. Let's come in here and be willing to thank God for all that He has done. Let us not let Thanksgiving become a day that we forget.
Amen.
The rest of the world, Thanksgiving to them means turkey, a day off work, and football. That's all it means to them. But it ought to mean a great deal more to you and I, because we know and we can be thankful. Let's stand for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful this morning that You've bestowed upon us great blessings and great riches and, Lord, great freedom. And we're thankful that we have the things that we have, Lord, but we recognize that the only reason we have them is because You've allowed us to have them.
Yes.
And it wasn't in our own might and our own power that we've acquired these things. Lord, even if we have bought them, it's because You let us have a job in which we could buy them. You let us have the strength, the mental capacity to do that job. Lord, You've let us live in a country where jobs were available and where money could be earned. A lot of nations don't have that, Lord, and we're thankful to You today because we have these things. Father, we're thankful for just the everyday things, Lord, the air that we breathe, the clothes that we wear, the friends that we have, the beauty that's around us. And Father, help us to take time to just recognize these things that come from Your hand. Now I pray, Lord, that You would create in us a heart of thanksgiving. If there's anyone in here this morning that is not thankful and is always desiring more and cannot be satisfied with what they have, Lord, create in them today a thankful heart. And help us, Lord, to remember these things throughout these next couple weeks. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing for closing hymn this morning, Count Your Blessings. I don't know what page that's on, but let's sing a couple verses of Count Your Blessings. Name them one by one.
370.
370. Count Your Blessings. Name them one by one. Now, if you need to come and pray. Maybe you haven't been quite as thankful as you ought to be, and you need to come and pray, you come. If you're in here this morning and you've never been saved, and you can't thank God for salvation, listen, Jesus Christ paid it all. He paid for your salvation by dying on the cross, and He'll give you eternal life if you'll but come to Him. Trust Him. And if you are not saved and would like to be saved this morning, I'll be glad to meet with you after this service and talk with you, and you can get that matter settled. Okay, 370, Count Your Blessings.
When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Are you ever burdened with the load of care? Lest the cross seem heavy, you are called to bear. Count your many blessings, will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done.
Okay, hold up there a minute. Give me one blessing. Yeah, you. One thing that is a blessing. Jim, one blessing. Todd, one blessing. Just one blessing.
This song.
Okay. Larry, one blessing. Harry.
Good health.
Larry Cockrell.
Do we have a job?
Amen. Steve.
The wife and these monsters right here.
Amen. Okay. See, you're supposed to count your blessings.
Amen, Ron.
Now you're starting to think about the blessings, okay? I caught some of you off guard a little bit. Now let's sing the last two verses, okay? Here we go.
Oh, when you look at others with their lands and gold, think that Christ has promised you His wealth of gold. Count your many blessings, for you cannot buy. Glory, 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 count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, but over all. Count your many blessings, will attend. Help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done.
Okay, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Come back tonight, 6 o'clock for discipleship, 7 o'clock for our church service. Be careful going home and have a good afternoon.
Thank you.